In Lexington, you may soon notice around town a van with the words "End Panhandling Now" on the sign. A new program starting in just a few days seeks to give panhandlers an option of working to beautify the city and get paid the money they desperately need while doing so. Lexington Mayor Jim Gray.
This van will travel Lexington streets and offer a ride to those who want an opportunity to work and earn. We're offering a hand up to those who are asking for a handout in our streets.
On this week's Eastern Standard, we're interested in your questions, comments, and personal stories regarding the issue of panhandling in Lexington and elsewhere. Send us an email right now, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send a tweet at WEKUEST. You can always post on the WEKU website at weku.fm or on the Facebook page. And in just a few minutes, we'll open the phones as well. It's time for Eastern Standard as we discuss panhandling, right after the news from NPR. From the studios of WEKU on the campus of Eastern Kentucky University, this is Eastern Standard. Hello, I am John Hingsbergen. Our topic this week, panhandling in the Commonwealth, and of course a focus on Lexington because it's been at the center of the discussion of panhandling across the Commonwealth. Earlier this week, a Lexington Council Committee discussed the issue and have been considering innovative ways of dealing with panhandling as a result of a state Supreme Court ruling that essentially did away with Lexington's previous panhandling ordinance. We're going to discuss that. We'll talk about Lexington's approach to panhandling, and we'll talk about panhandling perhaps in your community if you're not in the urban area. With me in the studio today, our first up, Pam Brooks, Director of Communication and Public Outreach for End Panhandling Now, a partnership between Lexington-Fayette County Government and Mayor Jim Gray and the Lexington Shelter, New Life Day Center, organizer of the new Lexington Gives van program. Pam, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
We're going to talk about that van that listeners may have heard about and about how that will hopefully alleviate the panhandling problem. With us also, Morgan Eaves, Richmond City Commissioner, elected for the first time in November of this year, and an attorney concentrating on general civil litigation, a founding member of Richmond Young Professional Association and a member of the Richmond Area Arts Council Board of Directors. And Morgan, we'll talk with you about what you see as the problem with panhandling in Richmond, and maybe listeners elsewhere in other communities beyond Lexington will identify with the Richmond situation. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
We have also with us representing the Lexington Police Department, Commander Mike Wright of the Lexington Police Office of the Chief. Mike, tell me what you actually do in the Chief's office.
I'm responsible for our budget, both personnel and operating, as well as just the overall vision in assisting the chief with meetings and the overall vision and philosophy of the agency.
And you've been involved in this panhandling issue and followed it as the discussions have gone on?
Yes, I have.
Were you involved at the time of the original ordinance that was passed related to panhandling?
Not when it was originally passed, no, but as it has been through my career over the last 19 years.
February, I mentioned there was a Supreme Court ruling. The state Supreme Court struck down Lexington's panhandling ordinance. Can you, as best we can, in a language that we can all understand, describe what that original ordinance was and what your folks in the police division were doing as a result?
Basically, that ruling decided that the language in the ordinance was more focused on the act of panhandling, so to speak, which, as we know, is constitutionally protected, and have urged us to change that language to something more on the safety and what may the actions of the person rather than the act of asking for money.
And so the previous ordinance made it illegal to ask for money. To take actions to panhandle, as it were.
Correct. The ruling was that the language in the ordinance was more towards that act of asking.
And so was the court struck down that ordinance in Lexington, the city has had to find other ways to deal with the problem. From the police division point of view, as a frequent visitor to Lexington myself, I've noticed increased activity, and I guess you all have seen that as well. Is that true, or is that merely a perception?
No, we've absolutely seen an increase since that ruling. There's no question about that. But our vision is trying to take a more holistic approach and look at the entire issue, not just with panhandling, but traffic safety and the safety of our community, both pedestrians and vehicular traffic.
So tell me more about what happened earlier this week. A council committee considered the issue of pedestrian safety, and it's some would see that as a way to get around the panhandling issue without making panhandling illegal, an effort to deal with the activities that relate to panhandling.
Right. As I mentioned, you know, it's trying to take that more holistic approach of looking at the good for the entire community. Our pedestrian collisions over the last year have been increased, so that's something that we need to look at as an agency and as a city, and getting with our partners in the rest of the city, and as you mentioned here already this morning, and just trying to decide what can we do to make the streets safer and make everyone feel more comfortable, and educate our public and our community on the pedestrian traffic and where they need to be and where they can be, where they're expected to be for safety reasons.
But the new ordinance would make it illegal to be at pedestrians to get out in the street and to interfere with traffic?
Right, for any purpose, and not just the panhandling, but, you know, staying out of the roadway, using crosswalks, things like that, staying out of the medians.
I mean, what would that mean for newspaper vendors or those soliciting donations for various causes?
Right, absolutely. They would have to seek permission and, again, look for those areas where they can be, not in the major intersections, you know, being on the sidewalks.
Let me turn to Pam Brooks, which I know, Pam, the program you're associated with is one of these innovative approaches, and it was announced some weeks back. Goes into effect Monday, May 8th, I understand, a new van on the streets in Lexington. Tell me more about that.
This program is a partnership. It's between LFUCG, Mayor Gray, and the New Life Day Center of Lexington. It is modeled after a program in Albuquerque, New Mexico. It has been very successful. A van will travel around to intersections that are known for increased panhandling activity. The van will offer a ride to anyone who is willing to go work, put in a day's work, and earn a day's wage. And this gives them an opportunity to get off the streets and to get an honest day's pay.
How do they do that? How do they get that ride? Is the van going to drive around town and observe panhandling and stop people and say, hey, can we help you? Or do they have to go someplace?
As of right now, the initiative is that the van will drive around Lexington. We are in communication with Lexington Police, who are identifying some areas who are more prone to panhandling activity, and we will drive to those areas and talk to those who are out on the streets and see if they're willing to take a ride and go put in a day's work.
Probably a lot of entering and exiting the interstates.
Yes.
To get to those interstate exits. Also with us, again, Morgan Eaves, City Commissioner for Richmond. And Morgan, talk about how you perceive panhandling and how the City of Richmond perceives panhandling. Richmond's a smaller community than Lexington, so it's never going to be the scope of a problem of a city the size of Lexington. But is there a panhandling problem in Richmond?
Exactly. Richmond is a smaller community, but the thing it has in common with Lexington is it is an interstate town. Many of our thoroughfares are connected via the interstate. And when I spoke with local police officers and our local police chief, the main panhandling issue was surrounding the interstate. And quite frankly, at this point, I'm not sure how the state Supreme Court interprets standing on the shoulder of an interstate. I don't know if that is still deemed as public property if you're in the thoroughfare, or whether it's when you step over that white line actually into the roadway. But I do know that's the major source of our panhandling here. And I know, John, you mentioned before the program that you see it in gas stations. And that, of course, is private property. So it skirts a bit of our new ordinance about stepping into a public roadway and thoroughfare, and also parking lots. It happens a lot here and grocery store parking lots. And again, that's private property. So they would have to lodge a complaint for a reason other than panhandling.
This is Eastern Standard. Our program is an interactive show. This week we're talking about panhandling in the Commonwealth with a focus on Lexington, but also to other areas, of course. We invite our listeners, no matter where you are, to call in with your questions, your comments, your stories, your suggestions. How should we as a community be addressing this issue of panhandling in our areas? Please feel free to send us an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. I know we have one from listener Andrew that we'll get to shortly. You can send a tweet at WEKUEST, post on the Facebook page or the WEKU website, or give us a call, 800-621-8890. Your observations, your questions about panhandling on this week's show, 800-621-8890. As we talk about the problem of panhandling, what is being done to talk about the root and the reasons for panhandling? I mean, I assume a lot of the panhandling, and that's what folks are claiming with their signs, that they need help, they're out of work, they have personal family emergencies and so forth. I guess there are also people who are taking advantage of the system. How do we perceive that, and do we even get a sense of what percentage of panhandlers are really people in need?
I think you're right on with that question, and that is part of what we're looking at. Again, as I mentioned earlier, the more holistic approach, and working with Pam in the van and with that coming together. In Lexington, there's not anyone that should be without food or shelter. We have enough resources in our community to help those folks, and that's who we're trying to identify, is those people that truly do need help, that are looking for work, so that we can identify them and get them what they need. That's also why we also ask people, we have a very generous community, and that's why we ask people to give to programs like the New Day Life Center and other programs, so that you do know where that money is going, because when you give to an unknown person, you don't know if you are truly helping them or if you're feeding that addiction.
I understand there's going to be a campaign, a public relations campaign or a promotional campaign. And I believe, am I correct, that Mayor Gray and the city administration, for instance, are going to be asking people not to give to panhandlers? Tell me about that.
Again, that is our preference. We have plenty of resources and partners in our community, and we would really love for our generous community to give to those programs and not to individuals directly, so that we do know they are getting the food, the shelter, the clothing, whatever it is that they need, rather than possibly feeding that drug or alcohol addiction that may be what they're really looking for.
Is that, I mean, are we thinking of drug and alcohol addiction, or are we thinking about maybe just encouraging activity because we would be giving? We're in Kentucky, folks are kind-hearted people. People want to be good to their neighbor. They want to take care of each other. And it's very difficult, I guess, sometimes for people to turn their head, to turn the other way when someone is asking for help. But you're saying it's really better for them to not give individually.
It really is. And like you mentioned, people are good stewards and follow that thought process of giving. But giving to a program or one of the community service partners in Lexington is obviously much better, again, for the addiction purpose as well as just the people who are taking advantage of other generous people.
Commander Mike Wright of Lexington Police is with us. We're going to come back and get Morgan Eves and Pam Brooks into this conversation about whether we should be giving individually to panhandlers. We're interested in your questions, your comments, your observations about the issue of panhandling. Send us an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send a tweet at WEKUEST. Post on Facebook or the WEKU website, or call, and we'll be glad to get your voice on the air and interact with you at 800-621-8890. It's Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. Hello, I'm John Hingsburg, and this week our topic is panhandling in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, focusing on Lexington to a great extent because of issues that have arisen there. And Lexington has kind of become a case that others across the Commonwealth have had to follow because Lexington's panhandling ordinance was struck down by the Kentucky Supreme Court. We're interested in your questions, your comments, your personal stories about panhandling, your suggestions on how we should handle the problem of panhandling, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send a tweet at WEKUEST, 800-621-8890. Let me turn to Pam Brooks with the End Panhandling Now partnership in Lexington. Back to that topic of don't give to the panhandlers. Gosh, your heartstrings are tugged at. You're at the interstate. You're stopped. There's a light that stopped you, and you're stuck. And this person who looks like they're in desperate need has a sign, and they're looking at you with sad eyes, asking for help.
It is definitely a problem, and I know many people want to give and help people, but they need to know the best way to give. As the commander pointed out, oftentimes we're fueling possibly habits or addictions that are not healthy for these individuals, and we certainly don't want to do that. We want to help them in the most beneficial way possible. As he also said, Lexington, Fayette County is a very, very generous area. They have many programs and initiatives that are in place to help those who are in need. And the best way to really help those who are out on the streets are to contribute and to donate to those programs and organizations. LexGive.com is a website that has been set up that the donations that go through that website go to area programs that do help those who are homeless and in need.
As the weather is nicer, you've got the car windows down. I mean, in the wintertime, with the windows all rolled up, you can act like you're not even noticing the panhandler. But if you do interact with the panhandler, you make eye contact and they talk to you, maybe you're on the sidewalk, you're in some other location to interact, what do you say to them? No, I'm not going to give.
Well, I would just encourage people to still be kind, but just to direct them to some of the organizations in town who are there to help them, places like the New Life Day Center and other organizations and programs around town. Again, it is hard, but you have to keep in mind the bigger picture that we're trying to make everything better for the community as a whole.
Are there resources that the public can access here? Like, will there be any little cards or something that people could pick up and maybe when a panhandler approaches them, hand them something?
Yes, we are working right now to develop several different avenues to obtain literature to give them. We're working to develop flyers that motorists can keep in their vehicles to hand them, and we're also working to roll out a social media campaign as well that will direct motorists and citizens to, again, the LexGive.com website and other organizations that they can donate to.
The one email we received from Andrew, one of the points he makes is, to me, it seems patriarchal, the band program. He says, patriarchal based on the groups involved perceiving what they, quote, know best for those impacted by homelessness, when the core issues are much deeper than access to temporary employment. Is this a feel-good band-aid for what some see as an eyesore in the community?
Well, I think it's the first step in what could be a number of steps to rehabilitate people who do have deeper issues out there. Again, the first objective with this is to restore some personal dignity to these people. Mr. Steve Polston, who is the founder of the New Life Day Center, he actually went out and experienced the program in Albuquerque, which our program is modeled after. And he said one of the things that he noticed so quickly was how good these individuals felt about themselves. They were putting in a hard day's work and they were earning an honest wage. So that's the first step in this, is to hopefully restore some of that dignity to people.
How long can this go on? You know, someone is panhandling, they're picked up by the van, they agree to go do some work. Can they just take that on as a job and keep doing that for a while? Or is that is it just a one day at a time thing?
Well, initially the van will run on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and the maximum amount is $45 that they can earn in a day. So $90 a week right now is the maximum that they can earn. And there are some limits to that as far as taxes and so on get involved with that. But, you know, it's a start. And I think once people realize what it is to earn a wage, what it is to feel good about putting in an honest day's work, maybe they can then take the next step to seek whatever help that they need and can get off the streets.
Turning again to Morgan Eves, commissioner in the city of Richmond. Richmond does not have an organized program such as what Lexington has been putting together. What's being considered? Is there any discussion underway about how to approach panhandling, or is it the kind of issue that has even risen to that level?
Unfortunately, fortunately, in some aspects, it's not the issue that's risen to that level, but unfortunately, we do have a lot of related issues that my fellow guests have been talking about, people that have deeper-rooted problems, which could tie into panhandling. I know the police officers here in Richmond have said that as they've seen an uptick in drug usage and arrests in our community, those panhandling issues have gotten worse. And I think Richmond needs to really take inventory of those issues. I think currently we're leaving it to the county to deal with it. But I think citywide we need to develop something like the Lex Give website where people can have a list of resources available to point these people to.
As a city official and also Commander Mike Wright, as a police official with the city of Lexington, when would you advise people contact the police if they're uncomfortable with panhandling activity?
Yeah, when it goes beyond just the basic question of someone asking for money, if they feel like they're being harassed or someone is intoxicated or they are becoming a traffic hazard, that's where our role as the police get involved in that safety issue. And we encourage people to not make panhandling and homelessness synonymous. They're not, and not everyone that is involved in panhandling is homeless. And that, again, that's one of the other reasons for the program that we have going in Lexington is to identify those folks that do need the help and get them that job, get them started, and help find them resources that they need.
Morgan, you feel the same way? Again, with a law background, is there a point at which you would tell somebody you really should call the police?
Yes, I second what Commander Wright said. I think if it gets into a safety issue. Again, with the city of Richmond recently passed an ordinance that narrows the language down to if someone is getting in a roadway or a public thoroughfare and they are endangering the safety of citizens that are driving or even other citizens that are walking. If it becomes a safety issue or if there's a intoxication issue or harassment, I think they should contact the police.
We're going to go to the phone in just a moment here. As we remind listeners, you're welcome to be part of our program. We're discussing panhandling, innovative approaches to handling and dealing with panhandling. Your observations, your stories about panhandling. What do you think about the approaches that are being suggested, especially in Lexington? You can call us now at 800-621-8890, send an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com, or send a tweet at wekuest. Let's go ahead and talk to Christine from Georgetown, who is on the line. Christine, you're on the air. Go right ahead. We have her channel on the console there.
Turn up.
All right, Christine.
Hi, yes.
Okay, sorry, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to say two things. First is I was impressed with the program. I think someone shared a post online, and then therefore I thought of my, I'm a newbie to Kentucky, fairly recent, and so I sent it to some friends that are in Muncie, Indiana, who are dealing with similar issue, and they were, you know, pleased with that program idea. However, there was one comment that kind of stuck with me, and I know that not every program is going to fix every problem, but to keep in mind, I guess, that their comment was something like, well, not all, you know, panhandlers are able physically or mentally or otherwise to do the program. So, you know, just that is an option for some, but not all, as you all know that. But I thought to keep that in mind. The second thing that I was going to suggest or ask about is instead of perhaps giving a panhandler a dollar, that the social organizations come together and create like a little business card with a particular resource available, hotline, et cetera, that the, you know, public can then get at the local police station or that the patrol cars can have a stack of them and hand those out to the panhandlers instead of the dollar or something that points them to the right direction, have it in their hand so that they know what, where and how to get there.
Pam, is that what Lexington is already thinking about doing right
now? That's part of the campaign, yes, is to create flyers that motorists will have access to around the community and they can keep in their cars. So instead of handing out a financial donation, they can hand them the information to direct them to where they can get some help.
And Mike Wright, what about police? Will police have resources like that they can give out? Or and what about training for police? Are police being given specialized training and instruction in how to deal with panhandling issues?
We will absolutely train on any new ordinance or any new law that gets passed. That's standard practice for us. As far as the resources for our officers to hand out as well, yes, our partners in Lexington are very good about getting us their literature when they come up with that, knowing that our officers a lot of times are going to be the first responders and have that first contact. And we can give that resource information to anybody we come in contact with.
Christine from Georgetown, thank you so much for your call.
Just for my own sake, is there a particular phone number or hotline in general that, I can scratch down on a piece of paper or let my, neighbor know to get them in that right direction? Would it be the Lexington Police Department website or...
Well, as I said right now, the best way to really get involved to help with this problem and help the community is to donate to thelexgive.com. And you can go there and that will give you some additional information. That website is administered by the United Way, so that also provides some information there and some resources to pass along to those who do need the help.
All right, Christine, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
This is Eastern Standard. Our show is an interactive show. We encourage you to... speak with us, raise your questions, tell your stories, your experiences with panhandling, your suggestions, and any questions you have for our guests. Our guests are Commander Mike Wright of Lexington Police, the Office of Chief. We have Morgan Eves, Richmond City Commissioner, with us. And we have Pam Brooks, Director of Communication and Public Outreach for End Panhandling Now. And you're the folks driving the van. Will you get to drive the van?
I will not be driving the van, no.
Who will be driving the van?
I want to stress that this initiative, it is being overseen by the New Life Day Center. It is definitely a team commitment to this project. There are a number of people involved. There are specific drivers who will be driving the van. A number of people, Mr. Polston has compiled a great team of people who have a great deal of experience in the areas he has tapped them to lead. And so there will be many, many people involved. We really have high hopes for this.
Okay, we're talking about panhandling, and again, a lot of the focus is on Lexington, but we've had our first call from Georgetown. Now we're going to talk to Nicholasville. So John in Nicholasville, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I think everybody's approach to this is entirely backwards in that, there are, in fact, people who are in dire need and are panhandling because that's the only alternative they have. But if you watch a lot of these folks, you start to realize you recognize faces and that the reality is this is a money-making operation for most of the people who are out there. And as a result, what the city or any governing district wants to do, if they want to curb this activity, they might want to consider giving them, that you have to have permits. Now, the permit can be free at the beginning if in the event that people are actually homeless and or in dire need, and that would give them the opportunity to be recognized as someone who is soliciting funds. But otherwise, over time, you'd be able to start approaching it as a taxable situation because these are, in fact, vendors. They're selling their story and their image of themselves to people. And the people, for whatever reason, give them money. It's a money-making operation. So tax it. Put a permit on it. Make these people accountable for the funds they're doing. You can watch it dry up, I think, fairly quickly at that point because it's not about free speech. It's about vendors.
Even though the state Supreme Court says it's about free speech.
Well, that's because they only approached it on a free speech basis. Did anybody talk about the income? Because free speech and income producing speech are two different things, I believe, because you have a income producing activity. It's not just a case of my standing on the street corner and saying I support this or I am against this.
All right. John, you raise a very important question. We're going to pursue this with our guests. Thank you so much for your call, John from Nicholasville. And we're interested in hearing from the communities beyond Lexington. We do have callers from Lexington, and we'll get to as well. But folks, what about let me ask Commander Mike Wright. I've heard stories that there are people busing in or shipping in from other communities to Lexington. Because once that panhandling ordinance got struck down, we have an open market now. Tell me, is that a true perception, or is that merely something that we can't document?
I would say that's hard to document unless you've actually seen it in person. But there is no question, as we mentioned earlier, we definitely saw an increase in the amount of people asking for money once that ordinance was struck down. There's no question about that.
An interesting question would be, since that was struck down, has that affected other communities, such as Richmond, such as Georgetown, such as Nicholasville? Will folks in those communities have seen an increase in panhandling? Or because Lexington was at the center of that Supreme Court decision, are they saying Lexington's now an open market, but technically, because of the Supreme Court ruling, any community in the state is now, if they have any panhandling regulations in place, those are likely to be ruled out.
I think everyone across the state absolutely will have to watch and follow the rulings that have been made, because it does affect us all in the state. I think Lexington is, again, like we mentioned, a very generous city. It's the right size. It's not too big, so it's not too overwhelming, but it's not so small, and we do have several large intersections. And the bottom line is, the people will go where they're getting the money, and that's where they'll be.
John from Nicholasville talked about issuing a permit. You actually referred to a permit earlier in the program when I mentioned the issue of folks raising funds for various causes, or maybe if they're selling newspapers. And I don't know if I've seen much of that around Lexington, but I've certainly been in places where this, especially on Sunday morning, the Sunday paper is right out there available on at an interstate or some other intersection. Is there a permit process in place right now for certain people to use the roadway?
That gets beyond public safety, to be honest. I'm probably not the best person to answer that question, but we will certainly take his recommendations back and talk to the group that has been discussing this as a whole, and I'll be more than happy to bring that forward.
But somebody sees someone in the roadway collecting for a cause, and they decide to dial 911, and they reach a dispatcher, and they say, somebody's out here collecting. I think that must be illegal activity. What then happens from the police point of view?
We can check with our Department of Finance within the city, or our law department and several others, to see if that is something that does need to be permitted through the city, and if so, if that agency, company, group has done that proper paperwork through them or not.
But if a citizen calls 911 in a situation like that, somebody will be dispatched?
We will absolutely respond to every call for service, yes. It's just a matter of what we figure out once we get there.
Then they get to the scene and they say, I'm with the Heart Association, I'm collecting money for this cause, a very legitimate cause. Then there's something that goes on in terms of a negotiating process. How does that officer on the scene make a decision about what to do then?
Our main decision is going to be the safety. First and foremost, are they safe? Are they creating any hazards for anybody else, the vehicles, or any other pedestrians in the area? That'll be our first evaluation, and maybe come up with alternatives if we need to for that safety first.
It's Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. There's more to our discussion about panhandling coming along. As we ask you to feel free to be part of the conversation, I'm not sure if we have a line open or not. We do have callers waiting, and we have had emails from listeners. Feel free to get on board, 800-621-8890. If you get a busy signal, you may have to call back when somebody else clears the line. Send us an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. I don't think our mailbox is filled up, so you can certainly get your email in here, or send a tweet at WEKUEST. Panhandling, solutions, questions, the nature of the problem, our discussion this morning, that phone number, 800-621-8890. It's Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. I'm John Hingsbergen, and our discussion this week about panhandling. We're inviting your participation by email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send a tweet at WEKUEST, or give us a call, 800-621-8890. And let's go ahead and go back to the phone. Let's go to line six, and that would be Ann calling in from Lexington. Ann, are you there? Ann, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Oh, hello. Good morning. Yeah, I had a question just about information gathering. What type of methods to gather information on who the panhandlers are and what exactly is the type and breadth of problem that we're trying to find solutions to so quickly? And I mostly ask because when I heard about the van program and heard that it was going to be picking people up for 6 hours of work, I kind of blinked because a lot of the panhandlers that I've been seeing don't look like they have 6 hours of work in them. So I was just curious, maybe like your previous caller, like what type of ideas are behind this and is it based on actual information? Thank you.
Pam Brooks.
Well, this program is a starting point. It's an opportunity to give these people a chance to work, a chance to make a wage, and it's completely voluntary. If the van stops by and speaks to them and they don't want to participate, that's completely their choice. But again, this is an opportunity to give someone a chance to earn an honest wage and to possibly set them on a different path than the one that they are. This could open up the doors to many other opportunities, too. I think it's a way that those who are driving the van, those who are involved with the New Life Day Center, they can build a rapport with some of these people as well and find out their backstory. This is a chance to maybe learn more about them and find out that if there are some root issues, if there are some problems that they need to seek help for, they can then determine what resources are best. So again, this isn't something that's going to fix all problems. It isn't going to wipe out panhandling completely. It's simply a starting point, and it's an opportunity to give them a chance to do something worthwhile.
And are we documenting information about the individual folks? When people get on the van, will there be a process of tell me a little bit more, tell me some of your story so that the city can take further action based
right.
on
they
what
will
you, what
have
you learn?
To provide us with a name, and we will be keeping track of those who are on the van because at the end of the day, they will be paid their wage for their day's work. And so, yes, there will be some documenting going on so that we can keep track of those who are repeat customers, so to speak, and to those who may have tried it out, decided it wasn't for them, and decided not to return.
By email from Kirsten writes, in Lexington, when the van drives around to interact with panhandlers and to inquire as to whether or not they would like to work, what is the policy if they decline to do so? Will the individuals be left to continue panhandling, or will the van pass around the city multiple times on a circuit route?
The van will start at 8:30 in the morning on the days it is designated to drive around the area. It will launch. The program will launch on Monday, but then after that, the van will be driving around on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And again, it is completely voluntary for those that it stops by. If they decline to take a ride, then that is their choice.
Will the van driver perhaps be in a situation at times to say, this person's a repeat customer, this person looks like one of these vendors, as our previous caller spoke about, somebody maybe who's come in to make money, would the van ever be in a position of contacting police?
Yes, absolutely. The van, they have to make the determination that if the person who is coming on board is able and is not impaired in any way to be able to work during the day.
And at part two of the question from Kirsten, will the van have any professionals who are trained to gently or appropriately handle mental health or drug-related crises? If there was a confrontation, would the panhandler be taken to a place for treatment, or would they be taken instead to jail?
Well, as I mentioned, there is a van driver, but there is also a second gentleman who rides the van for some more of a security reason to help make determinations on people. And again, if someone seems impaired or if they seem they are struggling in some way, they can then make the appropriate phone calls to get them whatever assistance is necessary.
Morgan Eves, Commander Mike Wright, comments based on what we've been discussing here? Any agreements, disagreements, any other suggestions you might want to offer?
I agree with Pam. I think we've had a couple of callers who callers and questions who state that the individuals may not be able to work for 6 hours. But I think Pam was talking about building rapport with these people who are out panhandling. I think it gives them a chance to interact with someone who has the resources and knowledge to be able to help them. If they aren't physically or mentally able to work for 6 hours, then they can certainly help direct them in the right place. And that's why I think what Lexington is doing is so positive, because it does take a very comprehensive approach to the problem.
So it provides a point of contact rather than merely it's
exactly.
Either law enforcement or nothing.
Exactly.
Let's go to the phone back to Lee in Anderson County. Lee, thanks for being part of our show today. Go right ahead.
I have lived in Lexington on long blocks, and to visit a neighbor across the street, I had a choice between jaywalking or walking quarter mile to the end of the block, crossing at a crosswalk, quarter mile back.
You're bringing up another point in the proposed ordinance right now that would also affect jaywalking. You're right.
I have also put in 5 pedestrian miles a day on average from 1975 to 2004 in Lexington.
All right.
And many neighborhoods do not have sidewalks, so one walks in the street because the yards are impassable. And even where there are sidewalks, on average once a mile, one has to walk out into the street because the sidewalk is blocked by a parked car. Is it going to be possible for a pedestrian to travel in Lexington once it's illegal to step off the sidewalk except at a crosswalk?
Commander Mike Wright, you're going to be out there arresting Lee for taking a walk?
No, I don't see that happening. I believe we will have the use of discretion and a little bit of common sense in those areas, and we certainly understand those issues that he's bringing up, and we know that that's going to be the case. You know, I see this as more of a complaint-driven major intersection, traffic hazard issues, traffic safety issues is what we're mostly concerned about, and like you said, not the walking down the street where there's not a sidewalk. Obviously, you have to. Don't be in the middle of the street, please, you know, for the traffic safety hazard portion, but we absolutely aren't going to have an issue with someone walking along the curb because they've got to go around a parked car or getting to the neighbor's house.
I'm very old school. I remember being taught to walk on the side of the street facing traffic. If you're out on a country roadway, you don't walk along with the traffic, but you walk where you can see the cars coming at you. Is there a law about that, or is that just a good idea?
There's not. That's just a great idea for safety. Absolutely.
All right, Lee, did we answer your question?
I'm afraid if I have to visit Lexington again, I'm going to be a criminal, even if I'm not arrested.
Well, we'll turn you in if you get involved in any criminal activity. Thank you so much for your call today. Eastern Standard is our show. We're talking panhandling on this week's program. 800-621-8890. Valerie wrote to us by email, "I'm an older unemployed person who has run out of unemployment. Despite two college degrees, a clean work record, and no addiction issues, I have had no luck securing work. Now Jim Gray, the mayor of Lexington, says if I stand with a sign at an intersection, a van will come and take me to paying work. How will the program not be overwhelmed by others in my same situation?" Pam?
Well, this is not a general jobs program, and that's one distinction.
This is not a way to get a job.
This is not a way just for anyone to get a job.
Okay.
And I understand many people want to put in an honest day's work. But again, this is a specific initiative that is targeting panhandling out there. This is a public issue that we are looking to find a solution to, and this is definitely a starting point for that.
One question, a caller came on the line and did not stay, but they asked what services would there be for people who can't do the labor? So when the van comes around and someone, perhaps they have a disability, I think I've seen panhandlers might be in wheelchairs or otherwise, with some assistance because of a disability. Will there be something that can be provided for them that they can't do the work prescribed?
Well, there are going to be multiple jobs that will be available. A lot of them will be beautification projects, so to speak, around the city of Lexington, the Fayette County area. But if someone has a disability and is willing to work, I'm sure there would be some sort of job that would be put out there for their benefit, that they could still participate in the program.
Let's go back to the phone. Let's talk to Jack from Lexington. Jack, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to make a quick recommendation. On top of everything, I think it's great what Jim Gray's doing, what you guys are doing to stop panhandling, but one of the areas I used to live by, it's the intersection of East Maxwell and South Limestone. Seems like it's kind of a hot spot for them to be hanging out there. And, you know, it's pretty apparent that they're all on drugs. And, you know, it's just like, at what point is it, you know, that I am getting harassed, you know, because I don't want to have to walk on the different side of the street to avoid these people begging me for money every single time I pass them. And, you know, they're all strung out, and it's just frustrating. But, you know, I appreciate that they're doing something, because I think it would be easy to just ignore the problem.
So you're uncomfortable, you're being approached by people, or you're seeing people you feel are participating in illegal activity. I will ask Commander Mike Wright how to respond to that.
Absolutely. Okay. If, you know, just again, like we mentioned earlier in the program, one question asking for money doesn't meet any harassment issues or anything like that. But if there is a belief that someone is under the influence of any kind of narcotic or alcohol, we can certainly be called and we will come and check that out for public intoxication issues. If someone is continuing to follow you, walk down the street with you, continue to ask, you know, just being very persistent, that again is something where we can come and get involved. But keep in mind, we have to see that action to take that immediate action. Otherwise, the only thing we can do at that point is take a report for that person, document, get all the information, and then assist them through the court process.
Right. I certainly appreciate that response. So, yeah, I mean, just the one thing that I was just saying was, I mean, I realize that it's a very complex issue, and it's not as simple as, you know, this or that. But I think that, you know, if there was a little bit more of a police presence in that area, that would definitely prevent a lot of them from congregating and using and the, you know, public eye. And it's, you know, just be good.
I mean,
I appreciate it, though.
Jack, thank you for your call. We really appreciate raising that issue. Mike, let me ask you this. I mean, police have so many things going on. Is there a fine line there if a person feels threatened or intimidated? They know an area where they see activity on the street that makes them uncomfortable. I mean, by calling 911, for instance, and asking for police assistance, are you taking police resources away from something that might be more serious?
Well, I appreciate that thought process. And while, yes, sometimes that may be the case, we'll never discourage someone from calling either 911 or our administrative line, 258-3600. To report something, and it will get queued based on the information that's given. It will get prioritized by the call takers, and the officers will get dispatched based on that priority of how that information has been given from the people calling in.
So that administrative line would be a line that's staffed 24 hours a day?
Absolutely.
But non-emergency, not my
Correct.
Life is in danger at this moment?
Correct.
258-3600.
Yes. And I would just like to add that area that he has mentioned. We have increased our patrols in that area, mostly with officers on bicycles. I think if you go through that area, a lot of times you will see those officers riding around in that area.
And that's the purpose of police officers on bicycles. Do we have horses too?
We do. And they work in the downtown area a lot as well.
The idea being to increase policing, community policing, interaction with the public, and to help to dispel some of the concerns that people may have, and and also to provide opportunities for interaction with officers.
Absolutely. And those officers know everyone in those areas. The people in those areas know those officers, and they have a great working relationship with them.
Let me ask Morgan Eves from Richmond, and we talk about that issue of police resources. Is that a concern for Richmond? I mean, how many police officers on the force in Lexington?
If the budget passes coming up, we'll have 630 will be our authorized strength in July.
630. Morgan, what about Richmond? Do you have a sense of how many officers we have?
I believe we are working our way up towards 60. I believe that is our budgeted
force. So a 10-to-1 ratio here. So in the same situation, I'm wondering if, you know, Richmond Council has addressed that issue, or there's discussion among the administration about, you know, if people have concerns, you know, how do we address the use of emergency services for situations that are non-life-threatening of this type?
We haven't addressed it as to this specific instance, but I do know that we have recently gotten a new police chief in the past, I believe, 6 months, and he's really concentrated on community policing, kind of what you guys were talking about, on bikes and on foot. And I think our hope is that more community policing and developing a rapport with more of the higher crime community areas where panhandling would likely take place would prevent those, along with other drug-related crimes. They're all sort of tied in together, but I think our hope is that having more boots on the ground and developing a relationship with the community will help prevent crime generally.
We're just about out of time for this week's show as we're discussing panhandling. Let's go around the horn and once again just talk about your recommendations. We'll start with the police official. I want to hold Pam for last because of the program going on in Lexington. But your recommendations regarding panhandling. People are concerned about panhandling activity in their community or in their neighborhood. Just talk briefly what should folks do to help the city as well as to protect themselves.
Again, I think our biggest takeaway in public safety is to give to programs. Don't give to individual people so that you know where your dollars are going and you can feel better about knowing that those dollars are going to great resources to help the people that truly need it. And to notify us when there are safety concerns of people in the streets or being aggressive or being intoxicated, and understanding that difference between just someone who is asking for money and then someone who has taken it a little bit too far.
Very quick comment, just an observation from a listener. Joseph in Richmond says, just an observation. Recently, family members relayed the fact of seeing a panhandler holding a sign reading, "Need money for vasectomy" in Lexington. This person said, Joseph says, I was amazed at the bold request, yet goes along with the more inventive tales folks are using to gain unearned funds these days. Just passing that along as a story. Back to Morgan Eves in Richmond. Again, your advice in terms of dealing with panhandling, if folks observe that in Richmond or in other communities of similar size.
Well, I think in any community of similar size, it doesn't matter sort of how colorful the request, the vasectomy request, or any other one. You need to follow Commander Wright's suggestion and contact the City of Richmond at 859-623-1000 to ask about area programs that provide support for those who are unemployed or may have deeper issues. I think it's really important to support the programs that support the people.
All right. And Pam Brooks, again, you're working with End Panhandling Now, the Lexington Partnership. Your advice in terms of folks and their concerns about panhandling.
I just kind of want to echo what my two fellow guests here have said, that when you give to panhandlers, you undermine the legitimate efforts that are going on to help those in need. Funding efforts are difficult enough at times, and so when you're giving to those out on the street, it makes the job of those legitimate agencies even harder to raise funds. So again, it's a community effort. It's a team effort. Don't give to individuals. LexGive.com is a great resource and place to go. And hopefully we can all come together and work for the better of the community.
And appeal to kind-hearted persons to not give, even though you want to, but find a way to do so
right.
for the greater good.
But give in the most beneficial manner.
Thank you so much, Pam Brooks. Thank you, Commander Mike Wright, and thank you, Morgan Eves, for being with us on this week's Eastern Standard. Our program will be available as a podcast for online listening and downloading, and will repeat on Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. And you can always interact with us, of course, by email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Thanks to Devonna Gaines and Marissa Hempel for producing this week's show. At the controls, Sherry Lawson. I'm John Hingsbergen. Thanks for tuning in to Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations.